Welcome in to My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari here at the South Point Sportsbook VSiN studio with Matt Eumanns. And today, in for Wes Reynolds, Amal Shaw joining us as well, here to do the starting five. We only have 5 minutes to talk here in this first segment. It would be shorter, honestly, to talk about who's not hurt in the NBA at this point, but we're going to try to go through who is hurt. Jaylen Brown for the Celtics ruled out yesterday. He has a torn ligament in his left wrist. That means he'll miss the rest of the season. He was averaging a career-high 24.7 points and shooting 48% for the Celtics. They sit in seventh place right now in the Eastern Conference, heading into their game tonight versus the Heat. Now, this is a big game for the Heat. They could clinch a top six seed with the win, but just an abysmal season for the Celtics in terms of injuries, and they're not the only team. So how do you think the Celtics will fare in the play-in if that's where they end up, Matt?
Well, I wouldn't expect they were going to fare very well. The Boston Celtics have been discombobulated all season. Players in and out of the lineup, and really not much continuity for the Celtics. And with Jaylen Brown out, you're definitely going to miss a guy who averages 24 points a game. He does a lot more for that team as well. I haven't liked anything about the Celtics this season. In previous seasons, I liked the Celtics a lot, but this year you can tell just something's missing. Danny Ainge has made a couple mistakes in personnel. Brad Stevens hasn't done a great job coaching this team. There's a lot of blame to go around.
Well, when you look at the Celtics, think about it. You got Grant Williams in the post. I mean, can they draft somebody who's over 6'6"?
He's a college forward.
Football. It's exactly right. And to me, when you look at it, that's part of the problem with the C's. You mentioned Jaylen Brown. He's a cornerstone piece. And then I'm not a big fan of giving $32 million a year to a guard who's not even 6'3". And for me, when you look at the Kemba Walker acquisition, I thought it was going to set them back. Danny Ainge is about 312 first-round picks. He's never actually been able to acquire a piece that's going to benefit them going forward. I still am a Brad Stevens fan. I think he can coach. But I don't know if they have necessarily the pieces in the Eastern Conference to be able to knock off teams like Brooklyn, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. They've got to get bigger on the interior. When you look at it, Danielle, look at the size of Simmons and Joel Embiid. These guys are monsters. That's why we see Philadelphia top five defensive efficiency.
Yeah, definitely. Victor Oladipo also out for the Heat tonight in that matchup. Heat are anywhere from 1 to 1.5 point favorites. Total sitting around 225, I believe 225.5 at the South Point. Elsewhere, more injury news. The Lakers will not have LeBron. Woj tweeted out that he's giving his right ankle one more day. Could return as early as tomorrow versus the Rockets. Portland, though, is a game up on the Lakers, and they own the tiebreaker for the sixth seed. So Portland, toughest schedule here to close out. They are at Utah, at Phoenix, and versus Denver. But if they can go 1-2, the Lakers would need to go 4-0 to miss the play-in here. Should the Lakers still be the favorite to win the West here?
Well, I think so. I think, first of all, they're going to benefit from some officiating in the play-in game. You look at the schedule that the Portland Trailblazers have been given. I mean, my God, can we just put them in the seventh spot right now? That is going to be a tough stretch, which you alluded to in terms of who they have to play. Matt, I think Damian Lillard, though, with his experience in the postseason, I think they're more dangerous than when you look at San Antonio or Memphis, potential teams that could get in outside of that 9-10 spot.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Lillard's the type of guy who can win a series by himself. He can carry a team and win a play-in game, whatever, play-in series, whatever you want to call it. And he could lead a team deep into the playoffs. I've been a huge fan of him since he went to Weber State.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know if the Lakers should be the favorites in the West, but who should be the favorites? That's the thing. Who should it be? Would it be Utah Jazz? It's not. I don't think the Phoenix Suns should be the favorites, even though if you look at the standings, that's the way they would rank. The Lakers fully healthy with LeBron and AD because they're going to draw the money. Probably should be the favorites of the sports book.
Well, when you look at an Anthony Davis, to me, when he's healthy, he's actually probably the best player in the world. He's got the ability to stretch you out to the perimeter. He can make free throws. Defensively, he's so tough. He's so long. LeBron James, obviously, still when he's healthy, he's a top two or three player in the game. But I got to ask you quickly. I know you're a Faker fan. How do you feel about your Lakers? You're not a Laker? Oh, you're from the Bay Area. That's right. Oh, you only went to UCLA. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm so used to everybody in Southern California jumping on the Laker bandwagon.
If I was, what's the question?
The question is, can this team really win it, or is it just going to be a scenario where whoever's the least injured team probably emerges from the West?
That's what it seems like right now. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. It's injuries everywhere
Could be a battle of attrition. Amal, she's been a Golden State Warriors fan her entire life, going back to 2015.
I was going
to
ask, what was the year? 2014, 2015? That's what I thought it was.
You know, that's when I started paying attention. But the Lakers, people talk about LeBron James, of course, but I think they don't realize just how injured this team is. They also have Horton Tucker, day-to-day. Marc Gasol, day-to-day. Anthony Davis, day-to-day. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, also day-to-day. Kyle Kuzma, day-to-day. I mean, you can't find a guy on this roster who's not injured. But we have a lot more to talk about, obviously. More NBA and a lot more coming up this hour right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome into My Guys in the Desert, Hour 1, kicking off right here. I'm Danielle Alvari. We're at the VSiN studio inside the South Point Sportsbook. Matt Eumann's here, and of course, Amal Shah has joined us as well to cover for Wes Reynolds today. Great guest coming up in just a few minutes. We'll have Dave Koken, sports betting analyst at Wager Talk. And at the top of the hour, every Tuesday, we have Johnny Avello from DraftKings.
It's always a big day here on My Guys in the Desert when we have the number two guy from the Nuts on the show, Amal Shah. Welcome in.
Well, I'm just glad I'm not the number three guy, considering the show only has two people.
Big night in the NBA, if you like West Coast basketball. Suns and Warriors tonight, Knicks and Lakers on the West Coast. And we're not going to see LeBron tonight, but the Lakers short favorites over the Knicks, three-point favorites. Are you buying the Knicks as a dangerous team in the playoffs in the East?
I think they can get out of the first-round series. Yeah. When you get into the matchup with the Brooklyn Nets, obviously Philadelphia, and then Milwaukee, I don't think they're going to be able to merge from there. By the way, you got me all excited. You said West Coast basketball. I was thinking the Dine in St. Mary's down to Firestone. I didn't realize you were actually talking about the NBA West Coast basketball.
Well, we have to fake enthusiasm for the NBA today.
David Stern killed it for me. Last game I looked forward to, Game 6 between the Suns and Bulls.
I am really looking forward to the play-in tournament. I know LeBron hates it, and he says whoever came up with the idea should be fired, but I like the idea.
Well, they're probably not educated enough on it.
Yeah. Well, I think once people see it develop, a lot of people are going to like it. You know, you heard so many critics talk about this yesterday about the expanded baseball playoffs, and when you see it, you say, hey, this is great. More meaningful games is better for everybody, better for the bettors, fans, bookmakers, and I think the play-in tournament is going to increase interest in the NBA.
Initially, when this came out, I wasn't a big fan of it. I love this concept where you have the teams in 9-10 play each other. I like the way they've structured it, too, where 7 right. and 8 play each other. They get an opportunity. They win. They're in. And then the second team gets an opportunity as well.
And you're going to see the Lakers most likely in the play-in tournament unless they go on a run here late in the season. The Knicks and the Lakers each 38-30 going into tonight's game in L.A. And the Knicks wrapping up this West Coast trip, it's been somewhat successful. They got blown out in Denver, but they did beat the Clips, and that was a pretty good win over the Clips a couple nights ago.
Yeah, it really was. But I'm not taking anything away from the Knicks. But my concern for them is how good can they be offensively in the postseason? They're one of the few teams in the NBA that plays defense during the regular season.
Sure.
Nobody does that. Matt, last night Portland put up a 50 spot. That was more points than in the All-Star game. To me, it's disappointing in terms of how you see teams perform defensively. That's where the big question I have comes in. But now when everybody ratchets up their defensive intensity, how good is Thibodeau's team on that side of the ball? Are they as effective as they were during the regular season?
I'll tell you what, Julius Randle's been a stud this year. Yeah. And he's been one of my favorite players since he came out of Kentucky because he shows up every night. He's got a high motor, plays with high energy every night, and you don't see that from a lot of players.
Can we finally say that Coach K is a better coach than John Calipari, but Calipari's a better talent evaluator? Why is it everybody from Kentucky goes to the NBA and they just shine? Look at Booker, Randall, Anthony Davis. I mean, Jamal Murray's out with an ACL. I mean, when you look at the guys, Kentucky could have an all-star team, mm-hmm. Kentucky versus the NBA.
Yeah, I'm not going to go as far as to say this Coach K is a better coach.
I don't think he is. I'm just saying.
I'm not in a Coach K fan club necessarily.
Neither am I.
I do think that, was it the 2014 team with Kentucky with
AD
Karl Anthony Towns and Devin Booker, got to the Final Four, was undefeated.
Lost to Wisconsin.
I was on Wisconsin in that game, and I've said 100 times, I admit that Kentucky got jobbed by the officials in that game. They did.
I don't disagree with you. And, you know, to your point, I forgot about Big Cat.
Coach K always gets the benefit of the officials.
Well, that's when I knew in that second half I had to get off my Wisconsin play. They only got called for 3 fouls. Next thing you know, Wisconsin commits more fouls in the half than they did in Bo Ryan's tenure.
Hey, Suns and Warriors also tonight. Stephen Curry hits a crucial 3 late last night to lift the Warriors to a key win there. In the 8th spot in the Western Conference, a half game up on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Suns still in the number 2 spot, and that's probably where they're going to stay, Amal. It looks like it's going to be Jazz 1, Suns 2 in the West.
I tend to agree with you. I think it's a good opportunity for Phoenix to bounce back here. Remember, Golden State, they're going to be in a scenario where they're going to wind up in the play-in, so it may not mean as much. They've got some margin between them and Memphis and San Antonio. I got a quick question for you. MVP, depending on how you define it, don't you think Steph Curry is more valuable to Golden State than Nikola Jokic is to Denver? Because you had Jamal Murray, obviously the injury a couple of weeks ago has a factor for the Nuggets. But to me, the way Steph has played this year, I don't understand why he was never given serious consideration for the MVP. He has been ridiculous.
He's carried the team offensively. I said the same thing about a month ago, that I thought Curry, when he was around 20-1, was worth a bet. I said he's probably not going to win it, so you have to keep that in mind when you make the bet. But I think he deserves more consideration than he's getting at the time. So, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, to me, one of the things I don't like in the media voting is I feel like so many people are influenced instead of standing their ground on what they believe in.
Right.
I mean, when you look at what Steph's been able to do this year, there's no chance without him. This Golden State is not a top three team in terms of the lottery.
Look at the Warriors' record last year.
Yeah, exactly.
They are 36-33 going into tonight's game. Suns 4.5-point road favorites in San Francisco. Let's bring in Mr. Baseball, Dave Koken of ESPN Radio in Las Vegas, at Dave Koken on Twitter. DC, how's your baseball season gone to this point?
Started off incredibly well. Ridiculously well the first few weeks. Went backwards the next few weeks, a couple of weeks, and now seems to have leveled off at least trending in a positive direction, and I'm real happy with the hockey. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, hockey was good last night, especially if you bet the Colorado Avalanche. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. All right, Dave, I want to start with your Boston Red Sox tonight. Okay. The surprise team in the American League, maybe in baseball, to be 22-14 at this point. I think you like the matchup here, Chris Bassitt against Nathan Eovaldi, and the Red Sox -130, total of 9 at Fenway tonight. A's at Red Sox.
Yeah, this is one where the analytics come into play. If you look at the matchup of the two pitchers, you can make a case that, well, Bassett's got better numbers than Eovaldi. But when you factor in some of the metrics, actually it's Eovaldi with slightly better numbers than Bassitt. And that's important because if the Red Sox can have just a little bit of an edge on the mound, they're going to beat most teams offensively at Fenway Park, and I think Oakland falls into that category. So I was a little surprised that this line did what it did, which was go down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think, and for me, I've not played full game. I think I've made like 2 full game bets the whole season. I'm doing first 5 on everything because I'm starting pitcher-centric with my handicapping, and I don't want the bullpens involved as much as possible because they're too volatile. So I went with the Red Sox first 5 here. I thought it was playable at the price.
Yeah, that's down to -124 for the full game here at the South Point, total of 8.5, shaded over -115.
Dave, I think you make a great point in terms of playing the first 5. I have not gotten into that as much. I like the entirety of a game, whether on a total or even on a side. I just feel like I want to see the teams play out the full 9 innings. Detroit and Kansas City go today in the Motor City. This is a Royals team struggling. 8 losses in a row. They've only scored 21 runs during that stretch. The Tigers in this one come in having lost 17 out of their last 21 as they are the slight dog here at home.
Well, yeah, and I don't think Matthew Boyd should be the dog in this game. I'll give you a few reasons why. Now, the one thing that would be a worry is that Boyd had to leave his last start after 1 inning because of a knee issue, but I don't think they'd be putting him out there if there were any concerns about the knee, so I'm assuming Boyd is okay. I give him a slight edge over Singer. I think it's really close as far as the pitching goes, so why would I not be on the Royals because they're the better offensive team? Well, they're really not the better offensive team when you factor in some of the team batting stats. I mean, this team's WRC plus against lefties is 79, which is terrible. Over the past week, they've been about as anemic as any team in baseball, 69 WRC plus over the last 7 days. These are really bad numbers. And the Tigers, for as bad as they've been, actually have been decent over the last week offensively. They swung the bats pretty well. With the Detroit team, you're looking for little stretches where they hit the ball well to take chances on them. I think at plus money here, the Tigers are worth a shot, at least in the first 5 with Boyd against Singer.
That's a play for you too, Usmal?
Yeah, I actually took this game under the total, but I agree with you. If I were to play a side, I would be with Matthew Boyd here. Singer's pitched well. Remember, these guys both met Matt back on April 24th. Terrific game. Kansas City won that game 2-1. Both pitchers were outstanding in that one, though.
All right. Amal, do you know who last year's MLB home run king was?
I do not.
Luke Voit. He returns from the injured list to the Yankees lineup today. Dave, what's been your read on the Yankees to this point? A little disappointing, 18-16 after that 5-10 start. Been a little erratic offensively. And tonight the Yankees start Jordan Montgomery, the lefty, at the Trop against the Rays, and the Yankees are road favorites right now at the South Point, -120, total of 8.
And by the way, the looks like the Rays gave up on Setsuga, who they spent by Tampa Bay standards, spent a lot of money on to get from Japan, and he was DFA'd today, has not hit at all. I don't know whether he's going to get picked up or not. He might end up back in Japan because he's making a lot of money for a guy who's not hitting. Voit, it's a big lift for the Yankees. It does help their lineup, no question about that. And the Yankees are starting to trend in the right direction anyway. I have a lot of trouble with Tampa Bay games because, and I think other managers know exactly what I'm saying here. I don't know what Kevin Cash is going to do from one game to the next in terms of his pitching usage. He confuses the opposition, and he confuses the heck out of me as a handicapper. It's tough to figure their games. I don't know how long Patino is going to be in the game tonight, and I don't know what's going to happen after him. He'll probably, I would assume, bring in a lefty after that, because that's, if there's one thing he usually does, it's go righty early and then bring in a lefty for three or four innings. It's very difficult to handicap their games because of that. The flip side of it is, as much as I kind of think the Yankees are heading in the right direction, Jordan Montgomery is a guy who I don't trust on the road. He's been a much better pitcher at Yankee Stadium in his tenure with the Yankees than he's been on the road. And let's face it, I mean, if there's one team the Yankees might have some psychological issues right now with, it would be the Tampa Bay Rays, who've turned into Yankee killers. They're beating them on a regular basis.
That's
so
true.
I mean, just a guess on the Yankees, but I wouldn't back it with money.
You know, Dave makes a great point on the Rays. Tampa, for me, and Seattle, Dave, are the two teams I bet on the least throughout the entire course of the season. The Mariners, because I didn't even realize they're still fielding a team, and the Rays, because I can't figure out how many innings or how many pitches they're going to allow their starters to go. It's tough to gauge some of these teams. Are there certain teams that you just tend to lay off of or focus in on some teams more than others?
No, I can't say that I do. I've never really given it a great deal of thought as to, but there are certain teams that I probably play less because there's nothing that stands out either way about them. So I can't look for little spots where it's like, this is a good spot for this team. This, you know, Pittsburgh might be a team like that. You can't really look to play against them on a very frequent basis because you're going to be laying a ton of money. And I don't like doing that. I'm not a big favorite player by any means in baseball, but the flip side is it's tough to find spots where you like them as a dog because they're terrible.
Toronto Blue Jays taking on the Atlanta Braves today. Robbie Ray going up against Bryce Wilson in this one. The Blue Jays finally starting to get themselves going in the right direction. In terms of this matchup, do you see a preference? And also in terms of the division, can Toronto make a legitimate push, or is it still going to come down to the other three teams above them?
No, I think Toronto's in it. And a big part of the reason is the, I guess we'll call it, emergence of the guy who's going on the mound tonight in Robbie Ray. Now, he's been around for a while. But all of a sudden, Robbie Ray has figured out how not to walk the ballpark. That's been his big problem ever since he arrived in Major League Baseball. Great stuff, but he beats himself on a regular basis with walks. He's got three straight starts now with zero walks allowed. I don't know what the pitching coach for the Blue Jays has come up with, but whatever it is, he sold Robbie Ray on it, and the guy's become a strike thrower. I thought this was a really good pitcher's duel going in when it was Max Fried going for the Braves. But looks like they backed Fried up a day. He's going to go tomorrow instead. And that means Bryce Wilson, who to this point in time has not displayed the ability to pitch consistently at a major league level. So I think there's a definite edge on the mound for the Toronto side here. And the Blue Jays, what it's worth, they've been just okay offensively, but that's still better than the Braves have been against lefties. One of the weirder stats in baseball this year, you look at the Atlanta lineup and you go, well, they ought to be hitting lefties pretty well. But their metrics against left-handers are absolutely horrible this season. I think there's an edge for the Rays here, and I think even at -130 in the first five, they're a bye.
Blue Jays, Dave Koken's side in that game tonight. Blue Jays at the Braves.
Blue Jays, excuse me.
Wager Talk and ESPN Radio, where you can find Dave on Twitter at Dave Koken. How about Seattle and the L.A. Dodgers tonight at Dodger Stadium? And the Dodgers 5-15 in their past 20 games, Dave. Walker Buehler goes tonight, -240, total of 7. Kikuchi goes for the Mariners. Is there anything you could play in this game? And what do you think what's been wrong with the Dodgers? Obviously, injuries to Cody Bellinger and several pitchers contribute to the recent slump.
And especially the pitching in the bullpen, which is it's become a real issue. Their bullpen ERA is pretty high, and right now they just don't have go-to guys out there. if their pitchers don't go real deep in the games. And that can be a little bit of an issue for Walker Buehler. For whatever reason, he's not pitching like Walker Buehler. I think he's going to get hot at some point because he's just too good not to. He's got great numbers the first time through the lineup. OPS, first time through the lineup, 395, which is microscopic. But second time through the lineup, 846. That's not real good. And that means a lot of pitches, and that means he's getting knocked out of games in the fifth and sixth inning because he gets already to the third time through the lineup. And most managers, and Dave Roberts included, don't want pitchers going through lineups if they can help it three and then maybe four times unless they were going real good. So this might be a game where, in terms of value, you're getting some with Kikuchi, who's definitely pitching better. He's increased his velocity this year. I don't think he's going to become a stud by any means, but he's starting to at least become a solid major league starter, you know, a decent number three guy. And the way the Dodgers are going right now, this price seems awfully large. I didn't bet it, but I would definitely have to consider Seattle at the big price.
You know, Dave's point on Walker Buehler, they should trade him to the Rays. He'd be a Hall of Famer.
Hey, Dave, we'll let you go. We're out of time. Are you betting hockey tonight, or are you going to wait for the playoffs?
I like Winnipeg, but I'm priced out. So we'll see what happens on tomorrow's schedule, but mostly waiting for the playoffs at this point. And can't wait. Should be great.
All right, that's Smoking Dave Koken. He's a cool hat, cool cat, and a hat and the glasses. Dave, appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. Good to catch up with you, Mal.
Thank you.
All right, which NHL coach went off on the media last night?
Well, Torts is no longer coaching.
We'll tell you next here on My Guys in the Desert.
OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Youmans and Amal Shah.
All right, Amal. I have not bet much hockey lately, but we talked about this game on the show yesterday. There was a lot on the line for the Vegas Golden Knights last night. They could have clinched the President's Trophy. There's home ice advantage in the playoffs. The West Division up for grabs. The Vegas Golden Knights blew a golden opportunity last night. They lost 2-1 to the Colorado Avalanche. I did play Colorado last night because Vegas was shorthanded, had 15 skaters instead of 20, played the number two goalie, which is Robin Leonard. Now, Leonard played well last night. He allowed two goals, but it was not his fault that Vegas lost the game. I still think Marc-Andre Fleury's a better goalie, but I made a small bet on the Avalanche last night, and it got there. They came from behind to win 2-1. I felt like all season the Avalanche just a slightly better team than Vegas, too, even though I know Steve Mackinnon and of Point Spread and Weekly and some others have Vegas power rated as the number one team in the league. The Avalanche have always looked a little bit better to me. What about you?
Well, I agree with you. And also, isn't a power rating just an opinion at the end of the day? When you look at it, this Golden Knights team last night playing with 15 skaters, first time since 2010 that's occurred in the National Hockey League. And the other thing you have to concern yourself with is there's not a team in the NHL that's faster than the Avalanche. When you look at their speed with Rantanen, Landeskog, what these guys can do getting up and down the ice, it's unbelievable. Cale Makar, even on the back line, he's got tremendous speed for a defenseman. They're going to be tough, and I'm with you. I think we know Marc-Andre Fleury is the better goalie, three Stanley Cups to his credit, third most wins all time. But at the end of the day, the way this Colorado team is playing, I think they're going to be the ones to beat. And Vegas allowed a golden opportunity to slip away, no pun intended there, because now Colorado's got two games against the LA Kings at home. They win those two games. They win the President's Cup trophy. Now you've got to go to Denver to get through them. Altitude becomes a factor when you get into the postseason. And I think this team has been trending this way for the last couple of years. Now they've got an opportunity.
So the Vegas Golden Knights need to win at San Jose on Wednesday night. And they need the Avalanche to lose at least once to the L.A. Kings in the final two games.
Yeah, Anze Kopitar just wound up with his 1,000th point. I don't know what kind of effort we're going to get out of the Kings here in the final two games.
Kings unlikely to win one of those two games, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty good statement. I would agree with that one.
All right, Pete DeBoer, the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, went off on the media last night. Well, not really. He got irritated. The media in Vegas, A lot of these guys are fans of the team. They lob softball questions at the coach. I watched this last night. They're lobbing softballs at him, and for some reason, he got irritated.
You kind of talked about it, but one shot in the final 10 minutes, I'm wondering, did you think the guys kind of hit a wall physically, or was it just Colorado making some adjustments and making good plays?
No, I don't know. You know what? If you guys want to talk about negatives tonight, you go ahead. I don't have any for you.
Next question goes to Brian Blessing, the Vegas Hockey Hotline.
Hi, Brian.
The little things do make a difference, though. On Compher's goal, it seemed like maybe got caught on a line change and we're chasing the play there a little bit.
Next question.
Next question, and he ends the press conference just like that.
I tell you what.
I mean, is that negative? He wouldn't be able to handle the press in New York, huh?
Well, the only place he needs to play next is Austin. I mean, San Jose Mercury News, the Review Journal, the Austin American Statesman. I mean, it's like a softball lineup out there. Come on, are you kidding me with this?
Brian Blessing with the tough question about giving up the goal on the line change. Next question.
Okay.
I was laughing when I was watching this last night because it was just softball after softball, and all of a sudden he gets irritated. Next question. It's not – if you guys want to ask about negatives, okay.
You know, Matt, you know, you've known this for a long time. For people that are unaware, in professional sports, credentials for the local teams are issued by the team, and I've always hated that. I've always thought the credentials should be issued by the leagues. These people should come in and ask questions that are fair, not trying to have a gotcha
moment.
Those
questions were more than fair, too.
No, right? 100%. Yeah. My point is, though, these coaches and sometimes the players, they get so offended by the littlest thing. I can appreciate you're frustrated. You lost a critical game. You potentially now go from having the home ice advantage throughout the entirety of the postseason to facing the probability of going to Denver in the second round, and you're not happy about it. But give me a break. You know, these guys are just asking questions. They're doing their job.
Anyway, last night's loss, probably going to make the playoff road that much tougher for the Vegas Golden Knights. They fall 2-1 to the Colorado Avalanche tonight. One game to look at quickly in the NHL. Amal, Boston Bruins on the road against the Washington Capitals. And the Bruins, Butch Cassidy, their coach, put out the list of players who are not playing today, and it's basically the entire team. So how do you not bet the Caps tonight at minus 180? Tell me.
Well, I tend to agree with you there. This is why you see such a high price. There's no way the Bees would be this much of a dog in a spot like this.
Right.
The one positive, though, for Boston tonight, Jeremy Swayman in net. He has been outstanding so far. Matt, he's got a ridiculous 1.44 goals against. Mm-hmm. So let's see what Boston can do. But remember last night, you know, a lot of people thought the over in Nashville would hit with Carolina and Nashville sitting a ton of guys. 5-0, Preds win that game.
Yep. All right, quick break here on My Guys in the Desert. We come back. Amal, what do you want to talk about next? How about baseball? What's wrong with the Los Angeles Dodgers?
If you missed any of our show today or any of the VSiN broadcasts, be sure to check out our free VSiN podcast. You can catch up on Follow the Money with Mitch and Pauly, A Numbers Game, or The Lombardi Line on the daily VSiN Best Bets podcast. Also, check in with Gil Alexander's Beating the Book pod, Josh Applebaum's Market Insights, get PGA Tour betting previews on Long Shots, the Ron Flatter Racing pod, and the NBA Scoop with JVT on Hardwood Handicappers. Whatever you're betting on, we have a pod for it. Find them all for free at VSiN.com/podcast. That's VSiN.com/podcast. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Amal Shah.
All right, when's Danielle get her own podcast? Amal?
I have no idea. I'm sure it'd be a hit, so it should be sooner rather than later.
She was picking a lot of winners during the basketball season. Maybe she should be on a podcast with Hoops Peterson.
Well, remember one thing. She did go to school at UCLA. They know something about basketball. It's just football that eludes them.
Hey, we're going to talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers here in a minute, but the Texas Rangers, a lot of people thought they were going to be a joke this season. You looked at the Rangers, and Kyle Gibson was their opening day starter, and that was laughable to a lot of people, and he got rocked on opening day. Since then, in six starts, 41 innings pitched, 6 earned runs, 1.32 ERA, all the metrics look good for Kyle Gibson since opening day, and the Rangers 18-19 going into today's game in San Francisco. How about the Giants?
Yeah,
Giants now 21 and 14, atop the National League West, and they lead the Rangers 2-1 today in the bottom of the sixth.
Yeah, unfortunately, score not going my way. Got off to a fast start here. I have the over 8 in this one, Matt. And 2-1, as you alluded to, 3 runs in the first inning. They've decided to take the next 5 innings off. They've had some runners on threatening, but not necessarily been able to do much damage. You mentioned the G-Men. Right now, they're at 15-1 to win the NL West. And the way the Dodgers are trending, Padres dealing with some injuries, some inconsistency at times, I don't think it's a bad price to take a look at the Giants at 15-1. If they can continue this trend, you'll get an opportunity potentially to hedge off. And I think that's where, for people that don't bet futures, something to look at. You're not necessarily betting a future for that team to cash, but you put yourself in a position to be able to hedge and really hammer the other side.
Well,
in certain
especially
situations.
If you're getting long odds on a team.
Absolutely.
You know, the Giants closed minus 145 at the South Point today, total 8.5. You said you bet over 8?
Yeah.
They still got a shot here.
Oh, it's a day game in San Francisco. Ball tends to carry. I thought it might be an opportunity with this matchup here. But, you know, you look at the Rangers offensively, it's been a real struggle. They're feast or famine.
Well, they've surprised me by being 18-19 going into today's game. I thought they'd be far worse. The Los Angeles Dodgers have been a big surprise to a lot of people in a negative way the past few weeks. 5-15 in the past 20 games. They've lost 5 straight series of them all. So here we look at the Dodger Blues. In last year's pandemic-shortened season, the Dodgers finished 43-17 en route to winning the World Series. They've already got 17 losses this season through 35 games. On the recent trip through Milwaukee, Chicago, and Anaheim, the Dodgers lost 8 of 10, dropped 15 of the past 20, and 18-17 third in the division. Dodgers have been favorites in 34 of 35 games. Make that 35 of 36 tonight. They have lost 5 times as favorites of minus 200 or more. Cody Bellinger, the NL MVP 2 years ago, out since early April with a fractured left fibula. It looks like he's not going to be back until early June. And right-handed starter Dustin May needs Tommy John surgery. He left that game in Milwaukee early last week, and he's lost for the season. This offense has dropped off from 5.8 runs per game in 2020 to 4.9. Cody Bellinger's absence is a big reason for that. But you've also, if you look at the lineup, Mookie Betts, Corey Seager not quite hitting up to the level you would expect. And you got some no-name guys in that lineup that you say, who's that? Who's that? You know, this is not the Dodgers team we expected to see on paper before the season.
Yeah, but I don't appreciate your negative attitude, Matt. I think they can go on a 25-game.
Next question.
I think they can go on a 25-game winning streak and get to 43-17. Now, you bring up a great point in terms of potentially looking at...
I'm just going to talk about negatives today, just like the Vegas media.
They have an opportunity to get on a run here if they can get healthy. But until then, Start looking at betting against the Dodgers. The one thing I think people forget in baseball, the best team, when they win 100 games, they're still losing 3 out of 8 games. The worst team generally still finds a way to win 3 out of 8 games. You're going to be profitable. You look at the M's tonight, plus 195 in this spot. I think Walker Buehler should be minus 230. I think there's a bit of an overreaction from the books in terms of when you look at some of the lines for certain teams. The Dodgers are one of them. You're seeing such a heavy price and premium on them that if you look at the numbers, at some point in time, you're going to be better off just playing the dog. Or if you're a person who likes to play run lines, I'm a big run line laying the run and a half. Mm-hmm. I don't tend to take the run and a half.
No.
But, you know, the other thing.
I don't take the run and a half either, and here's why. You're going to turn an underdog into a favorite where the only way that helps you is if you lose by exactly one run.
Right,
I don't
exactly.
like that. So you're going to take a Mariners side that's plus 195, turn it into minus 110 at plus 1.5. I don't like that bet.
Well, it's come down a little bit. The M's were a plus price earlier on the plus 1.5. But the one thing I would say is the easy way to be profitable potentially in a game like this, M's are plus 195. If they score the first run, you're eventually going to see this line come down to the Dodgers around 130, 140. You can then, at that point in time, take the Dodgers at a price and you're going to lock in a profit.
Walker Buehler goes, he's 1-0, 37 innings. He's got 39 strikeouts, a whip of 0.94. He's walked only 2, which is remarkable control from Buehler early in the season. Kikuchi's not a bad pitcher to get at about 2-1 price tonight, and the Dodgers struggling offensively. You know, in the big picture, I'll say this. I think the Dodgers are going to be fine. You've got 4 relievers on the that are injured right now, including Tony Gonsolin and David Price. You know, when Cody Bellinger comes back, the lineup's going to look a lot different. And the Dodgers have the financial resources to make some moves, and I think they're going to be fine. But they burned bettors here pretty bad the past 2 or 3 weeks. Public bettors who like to play teams You know how a lot of people bet. They'll throw favorites on parlays. And they like to play the best teams in baseball on a nightly basis. Nobody expected the Dodgers to drop 5 of 15 at any point this season.
No, I tend to agree with you. But if you look over the course of 162, this team winds up winning 95 games. We're not even worried about the fact that they were 18 and 17,
sure,
35 games into the season. The one thing to me, though, you mentioned the lack of offense. Take out that game against the Angels where Kershaw went 71 pitches in 5 innings. They score 14 runs. In the other 5 games out of their last 6, they've only managed 12 runs. Offense is really scuffling, and until they get it going, I think you have to look at the M's in this particular spot.
Dodgers open a 9-game homestand tonight. The next two teams that come to Chavez Ravine will be the Marlins and the D-backs, and they face off tonight in Phoenix. Lopez against Mad Bum. And Mad Bum's turned it around a little bit. He looked like a disaster early in the season, and he is a slight favorite. Minus 110 tonight, total of 8, and the D-backs won the first game of the series last night. Minus 114 right now at the South Point.
Yeah, I like the D-backs yesterday ending that losing streak. They got back on track. Marlins are a team that struggled to score. You mentioned it, though. Madison Bumgarner of late has really done a terrific job. Over his last 25 innings, he has just been remarkable. Just 2 earned runs. Now you're facing a Marlins team that scuffles offensively. I think this is a good price on Arizona at home here.
All right, the Oklahoma City Thunder back in action tonight. Can't wait to see what happens with this team next. Talk about a dumpster fire. Back in a couple minutes here on My Guys in the Desert, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now, and you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Youmans and Amal Shah.
Hey, Danielle, is your dad watching the show today?
Probably not. He has a job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he doesn't watch you at work on his laptop?
I mean, he tries to catch up when he can.
Okay. He came by the studio one day. Cool
yes,
guy.
He did.
Loves college hoops.
Oh, yeah. More than anybody.
Yeah. Amal Shah's parents stopped in here. Too bad you missed them. Great, great couple.
Yeah. I was actually home for Mother's Day last weekend, and it was really fun to watch. My dad was watching UCLA softball.
Was he really? Okay.
Diehard Bruin.
Yeah. He's definitely a college sports fan.
He's an all-around sports fan.
Yeah.
That's right. His parents are watching right now. In Florida.
Is
he in Florida?
Yeah.
Where in Florida?
Melbourne, which is like...
Is he like you, Amal? Same personality?
They look alike.
Nobody's this great. Come on.
I'm imagining someone just like yelling at the TV, disagreeing with everything you're saying.
My parents are like the nicest people, very, very just cordial people. You know, I make up for everybody else that isn't wired.
Okay.
Yeah. His parents are more reserved and quiet than Amal.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think that's kind of obvious, right? Everybody is compared to me. It's like I always love when people say, "Well, boy, you got a lot of energy." I said, "Have you ever met anybody with more energy?"
All right, let's talk association tonight. The OKC Thunder in action. Are you fired up for this?
I can't wait, man. I'll tell you right now, the fact that they're selling tickets to this game should be illegal.
Yeah, I don't know who would be buying them.
That's my point. I mean, you're trying to steal money from people?
You can sell tickets, but who's dumb enough to buy them? Hey, this from ESPN Stats and Info. With Sunday's 28-point loss, the Thunder have now been outscored by 490 points over the past 25 games, the worst by any team in any 25-game span in NBA history. That distinction was previously held by the 1992-93 Mavericks, who went 11-71. They had a minus 489 point differential over a 25-game span. Outscored by 490 points in the past 25 games. Obviously a team you want to bet against, but somehow the Thunder found a way to win in Boston during this stretch.
I know, I remember that game.
I'm talking about the Boston Celtics being discombobulated. We're talking about a black eye on the Celtics record.
Well, don't you think in the NBA today one of the issues is just the lack of defensive effort? I mean, last night Portland puts up 50 against the Houston Rockets. There was 83
Crazy.
Points scored in the first quarter. I think San Antonio had 87 points or something
Some
like that against
Milwaukee.
Some people
would say that's just really efficient offense, Amal. It's a great offense.
Well, when teams, who was it I saw last week got 96 points in the paint? That's not efficient offense. That's zero defense whatsoever. And I think that's one of the issues right now in terms of what you're seeing in the league. They've got to get better defensively. And it's just an effort thing. I mean, you're Oklahoma City. You shouldn't be losing. 10.5 point dogs to the Kings? Come on.
Yeah, the Kings in Sacramento tonight laying 10.5 to the OKC Thunder. But who's gonna run to the window or jump on the app to bet the Thunder and take the 10.5?
I don't think anybody is, but
how many times? Here's another thing. We should get Chris Felica and Mackenzie Kramer and the ESPN research crew on this. How many times has the Sacramento Kings been double-digit favorites in the past 10 years?
probably not any. I mean, when you think about it, this is a team that's been really struggling for a long time. It's just unfortunate because you go Thunder. Think about this a few years ago, what Sam Presti had. You had obviously the big three there with KD, Westbrook, and Harden. Now this is a team that can't even win 25 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just awful where this program has gone, and I don't see a quick turnaround coming because, remember, they're not going to be a free agent destination. So Sam Presti's got to go out and draft the way he did with a Russell Westbrook. I mean, Kevin Durant, everybody could see that. But I didn't think James Harden was going to be particularly strong in the NBA. I was wrong on that by a large margin.
Yeah, I was a little bit wrong about that, too.
Yeah.
Because he was not a high-energy player at Arizona State, even though he was a scorer. He was more like a high-volume shooter.
Absolutely.
And he didn't play with high energy, so I wondered how his game was going to translate to the NBA. He's been far better than I ever thought.
Well, I thought Derek Lassiter always got him the ball because they played together in high school. He's like, hey, I'm going to keep you happy here. And he just went one-on-four, but he's been able to do that extremely successfully in the NBA.
Well, he's turned himself into the best one-on-one player. Right, in the NBA, or one-on-five, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I think Kyrie Irving's the best one-on-five player in the world.
That's probably true. Kyrie's a magician with the ball in his hands.
He truly is, but it's even better if he gets his teammates involved.
Well, I'd like to see both those guys get their teammates involved a little bit more. But let's talk about two games we let off the show with today, and the Knicks and the Lakers. LeBron's not going to be back. The Lakers, 3-point home favorites tonight over the Knicks. Each team 38-30. Going into tonight's game, and do you think the Lakers are going to be in the play-in tournament next week?
I do. When you look at it, I think even though Portland's got a tough challenge down the road, I think the Lakers right now, this is an important game for the Knicks. Remember, New York right now, just a half a game ahead of Atlanta for that four spot. Matt, very important because you get to host. I think it makes a difference. If it's Atlanta hosting, they probably win the series. If it's the Knicks hosting, they probably win that series. Mm-hmm. So from a Knicks perspective, this is a game you can win. You have an opportunity. No Schroeder in the lineup tonight for the Lakers. Of course, LBJ out for Los Angeles as well. That changes the dynamic of how well this team can play. But I always thought when Schroeder came over, I thought it was an underrated acquisition. I thought he really helps this team, and once he's healthy in the postseason, I still think the Lakers are dangerous. And you and Danielle made a great point when we started the show. It's about the Lakers being healthy. If they're healthy, they are still the best team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, fully healthy, I think you still make the Lakers the favorites in the West. I know Jonathan Von Tobel would say the Clippers. I think he's become much higher on the Clippers in recent weeks. I still got to see the Clips do it in the playoffs to believe it. It's one of those I have to see it to believe it things because the Clips find ways to choke in the playoffs every year.
Well, there's playoff Rondo and there's regular season George.
Uh-huh.
I mean, right? PG, sure. When does he step up in the playoffs? He's got to be
PG 13. It's playoff. What do you call himself? Playoff P last year. Huh?
I have no idea. He wasn't. You know what the problem was? He wasn't around long enough for me to watch the Clippers at that point in time. I'd already, I didn't realize they were already out of it by the time I tuned in.
I'll tell you the team I really like, and it's the way basketball is headed to the 3-point shot. The Utah Jazz have set a record for made 3-pointers this season. Are some people sleeping on the Jazz right now? The number one seed in the West, but the third team on the odds board. You look at DraftKings, the Lakers 2-1, the Clippers +240, the Jazz +325.
You know, I can appreciate where you're coming from. And to me, I think what bodes well for them is the Clippers right now sitting as a 3 seed. And let's say Utah holds on to that one spot. I think we could see Utah in a scenario where they don't have to play the Clippers until the conference finals. I think they've got a great chance. I think they match up a little bit better, in my opinion, with, LA Clippers than they do the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Suns are the number 2 seed in the West. They're the fourth team on the odds board at DraftKings at +650. And the Suns tonight, road favorites against the Golden State Warriors, who are playing a back-to-back after Stephen Curry's big game in the win last night. The Warriors catching points at home, with a total of 231. Suns and Warriors. Any thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, I think Phoenix bounces back because of how they got embarrassed down at the Staples Center on Sunday night. I think they'll play better. Yeah. The one thing that, though, this is an important game for Golden State. Remember, they're a half a game in the win column ahead of Memphis right now. They need this one to hold on to that eighth seed. And if you're unaware, remember, 7 plays 8, 9 plays 10. So you just would have to win the one game to get into the tournament itself.
Yeah, right now the Lakers are a game and a half behind the Trailblazers for that sixth spot. And the Lakers obviously want to be in the sixth spot. We were talking about this with VSIN Vinny yesterday. Do you think it might benefit the Lakers to actually be in the play-in tournament? Because LeBron, AD, those guys haven't been playing together much. You see what happens sometimes in the NCAA tournament. Danielle will talk about it. UCLA in the play-in. We've seen teams in the play-in get on a roll and go on a run in the tournament. Could that be an advantage for the Lakers or not?
Yeah, but I don't think there's Abilene Christian waiting in the second round. And so for me, when I look at this scenario, I think if you're the Lakers, you don't want to be in a one-game scenario with them just coming back. I'd rather be in a 4 out of 7 scenario coming back, even if you drop
the
first.
Well, they got to lose twice.
Yeah, I get that, but still, to me, you could drop the first two games of the series, and with this talent, you could still win 4 out of 5.
All right, let's look at the Dallas Mavericks. They're still in the they're not safe, are they? The Mavericks are a half game ahead of the Blazers in the 5 spot, and the Mavericks are 2.5-point favorites at Memphis tonight. Memphis in the 9 spot in the West. So it looks like this game's going to mean something to both teams tonight.
It really is, and I'll tell you what, I don't know why. I'm just not a believer in this Mavericks team. I love Luka. He's unbelievable. I think everybody knows how good of a player he is. But Memphis at home is generally a different team. Matt, there's two teams in the NBA. I never bet them on the road, but I bet them at home. Memphis is one of them, and the other one is Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I don't like betting these teams away from home, but I generally like when these guys are catching points. If it catches to 3, I think you'd take a look at the Memphis Grizzlies here. This is an important game, as you alluded to, for both sides. Remember, Memphis has a chance to move into that 8 spot, catching Golden State. And, of course, Dallas trying to hold off the Portland Trailblazers.
You know, we're talking about Sacramento Kings and how organizations can make mistakes that can set you back years, maybe a decade.
Yeah.
The Kings could have drafted Luka Doncic.
Yeah, but, you know, the Dallas Mavericks, you go back to Donnie Nelson. He's been the forerunner in terms of international players, in terms of scouting, what they've been able to do. Obviously, they brought in Dirk, goes on and has a 2-decade stellar career, wins an NBA title. They have generally been the team that's been the best at that. And I think one of the things that handicaps or hurts Sacramento, and I don't think they'd admit this publicly, if you're the Kings, you generally have to draft a player from the NCAA because you need a little bit of marketability of known name. The one thing is, no matter how great a player like Luka Doncic or Dirk Nowitzki turns out to be, you don't know those players when they come from overseas. And I think for Sacramento, selling tickets is part of the equation because they are in a market where if the team doesn't play well, you may not have that many people. So for me, I think the Kings are kind of forced into a situation where they've got to look at a player with some name recognition.
They've drafted a lot of guys from Duke, Kentucky, blah, 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 and it's not getting them anywhere, though.
No, well, De'Aaron Fox, to me, is a cornerstone piece.
Fox is a really good player, but they've drafted a lot of guys who have not worked out. How about Marcus Bagley?
Well, I didn't think Marcus Bagley was that good at Duke.
Marvin Bagley, sorry.
I didn't think Marvin Bagley was that good at Duke. I think Marcus is his brother at Arizona State, right?
DeAndre Ayton was the top pick in that draft in 2018. The Kings had the second pick. They took Bagley. They took a Duke player like you're talking about. Doncic is sitting there. He goes number 3 to the Hawks, who trade him to the Mavericks. That's a franchise changer for the next 10 or 15 years, right?
100%. But at the same time, maybe it's the environment in Sacramento where people don't thrive. I mean, do we know if Luka Doncic would have necessarily been as good there? I don't know. Remains to be seen. I mean, he's a great player. But I think sometimes the environment and the elements around you make a difference as well.
All right. John Avello of DraftKings joins us in hour number 2. Stay tuned. This is My Guys in the Desert with Amal Shah and Matt Eumanns, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.